Good to see each and every one of you this morning. If you're visiting with us, you are welcome, honored guests, and we're glad that you came our way. Please give us opportunity at the end of the service to get to know you better, and again to invite you to come and be with us here at this place. The lesson that I've chosen to speak upon this morning comes from the great Sermon on the Mount, delivered by our Lord. There are so many things that our Lord discussed in this great sermon that it's just inexhaustible. There's no way that a preacher, teacher of God's Word would be able to exhaust everything to its finite detail that our Lord has given in this great message, because this is a message from God. This is a message in the Son of God's own words, things that you and I need to do. And how we need to live. Keep in mind, when you read the scripture, to whom that particular scripture is being written. Remember, the Sermon on the Mount is being spoken unto the Jewish people. Not to the Gentiles, it's to the Jews. They were the people to whom our Lord addressed His life. He was born a Jew into the family of the tribe of Judah, as the prophets had foretold, and he kept the law and did those things that were commanded, and he became the Redeemer of the entire world, Jew and Gentile. But there were so many things that the Jew had to understand in order to accept the Lord. And I want to tell you this, the majority of them did not accept him. It was only a minority, if we please, that accepted the Lord as being the Son of God. There are still those who still do not believe and cannot see that Jesus was the Son of God. The Jews wanted a military leader. They wanted a man to come along like of their choosing, whereby that we could put these Romans down, kill everybody else, and take dominion. That was the idea that the Jews had. They had been under servitude for hundreds and hundreds of years, and they were sick and fed up with it. Now, if you had been born in that situation, you'd have been sick up with it too. So I can understand how that many of them felt. But when our Lord came upon the scene, He spoke to them how they needed to curb themselves, to get a hold of themselves, and to realize that the Lord God had everything in control, and that indeed they were going to have the blessing that was promised by the prophets and was being delivered by the life of Jesus Christ. However, what they did not like is the fact that He would also be for the Gentiles as well as the Jews. The promise was that He would come through the Jews and that salvation would be of them. But all nations of the earth would be blessed through the blood of the Son of God. So actually they were looking for a material kingdom, not a spiritual one. Remember when old Pilate questioned him, "Are you king?" He said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my disciples would fight. That's not what I came for. I came to deliver a spiritual kingdom. It is altogether different." And brothers and sisters, so many people in the world today religiously are still looking for a material kingdom, not a spiritual one. They don't want to accept the one that Jesus gave. By the way, the Lord is now King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If He's the King of Kings, then He's got a kingdom. His kingdom's spiritual. It's not material. So don't be looking for some great high-rise building one of these days. That's so many people are. Oh, wait till the Lord builds His kingdom. You've never seen such a house in your life. Listen, folks. The house of God is the church of Christ. It's His body. It's His kingdom. And we ought to be ashamed whenever we think of it in a material way. It's spiritual. The problem that we have is that you and I are material. We are physical. That's what we think about more than anything else. Yes, we're spiritual too, but it's our spiritual man that gets least attention, isn't it? This is what the Lord was trying to get the Jews to understand. Here's what He said. They were under servitude to the Romans. The Romans hated the Jews, and the Jews hated the Romans. That's just the way it was, folks. Now listen, Jesus said to those under servitude, if a man compelled you to go a mile, go with him too. Give to him that is in need, and he that would borrow from thee, turn not away. That's hard news to the Jew. You know that? The reason is that there was a law passed by the Romans which had been shifted down from the Persians. And that law was, you'll see a little bit here, that law was that if a soldier or military official or government official were to ask you, a servant of the state, to bear his burden, you could bear that burden or must bear that burden for at least 1 mile. Then your duty would be fulfilled. If a Roman soldier came by and he was very tired, been out on battle, and here comes his troop, they see a man standing beside the road, and this fella is just burdened down. He's about given out. So he says to the Jew, I want you to bear my burden for me. The Jews so mad at him he could kill him. Who do you think you are to tell me to bear? You know, when I was a kid, I read that. And I read, if a man tells you to go a mile, go with him too. I said, Daddy, who in the world would be telling me to walk a mile anyway? You know, I'm thinking from the physical standpoint. Jesus is not. Jesus said, if he compelled you to go a mile, go with him too. He's talking about something else, don't you see? It's a deeper spiritual significance. The Roman had the rule that if you are asked to bear a burden for a mile, you must bear that burden. So the Jew picks up the burden, puts it on his back. He's walking along here, the soldier. They get a mile down the road, as far as the Jews to bear it. He throws it down. He says, now, mister, you pick it up and you bear it, and I hope your neck breaks. That's how the Jew was treating the Roman. Jesus said, no, go with him too, not just 1 mile. So let's suppose that a Jew's bearing a burden of the Roman. They get to the mile marker on the road. And so the Roman stops the Jew and says, you've borne it a mile. He said, it's okay. He said, you're worn out, man. I can see that you're tired. I'm okay. Let me bear it some more. And he goes another mile. When they get another mile, the Roman stops him and says, wait just a minute. Enough is enough. I'll tell you one thing. I've had no use for your people, but I've got a different outlook upon the Jews now than I had before. You're a good man, and I want to thank you for what you've done bearing my burden. I'm going to tell you this. My name is Alexander Johns. If ever you need me, you go to the captain and you say, I want to see Mr. Alexander Johns, and I will come, and I will help you in any way I possibly can. That's what I think of you. You're my friend until death. Do y'all see what Jesus was trying to teach the Jew? He was trying to say, by being kind, by going the second mile, you can win the man over. You can help the man. You can encourage the man. We all live together. Folks, isn't it about time that we all learn the discipline of the second mile? Isn't it about time that even God's people now, Christians, understand what it means to go the second mile? I think it is. I think we need to get a hold of ourselves. Let me tell you, there are some things that are so very important. By the way, I put down here that the Jew would be fulfilling the golden rule. Y'all know what that says. Matthew 7 and verse 12. The golden rule, do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. Say, tell me something. The problems we have in our world, in the United States, let's not say world. The problems we're having in America today, do you think it would be alleviated some if we'd just go the second mile? Quit being so mean and so rude to each other. Don't you think it's about time that we listen to what the Lord told the Jew to do? Son, if you want to get along, if you want to do what's good, why don't you try going the second mile? How can we do it? By the act of kindness. Now in 1 Peter chapter 3, 13 and 14, Peter makes statements like this. He said, "And who is he that would even harm you?" Wait a minute. Simon, what are you saying? Who is he that would harm you if you do what's good? Are good people hurt all the time? You better believe it. Are righteous people put down? Were Christians killed in the first, second, and third centuries? Are they being killed today? Being put down for being good? Well then, what is Simon Peter talking about? Who is he that would harm you if you do good? Now listen to him. But, here it comes. Anytime the scripture uses the word but, you got another side of the thing. But, if you are persecuted for righteousness' sake, there he goes. But if you be persecuted for righteousness' sake, happy are you. Therefore, do not be persecuted for evil, but for good. I ask you a question. Was our Lord hurt? Did Jesus pain? Did people put him down? Did they spit on him? Now I'm going to tell you, I'm a Carter. You don't walk up to me and spit in my face. I'm a little guy, but I swing a pretty good fist. Or I used to. Jesus was spit on. How did he react? Simon Peter again. Simon Peter said, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself unto the Lord God who will judge righteously. Don't you think it's about time that the rulers in our country had a little bit of going second mile? Don't you think it's time that all of us think about this principle of doing kindness toward one another? Look at Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. He said, let all bitterness, all wrath, all evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Y'all see that? What's the one thing that I can do toward somebody, even if he's mistreating me? I can be kind to him. Dan, do you know how hard that'd be? I sure do. Nobody said being a Christian was going to be simple. Was going to be easy. It's hard. If you really live the Christian life, when somebody... Oh, here's another deal. Jesus said back in verse 38... if he hits you on the one cheek, turn the other to him also. Now, who's going to want to... Can you do that? It takes a lot to be a Christian, folks. Sure does. So that when he was reviled, he reviled not again. And he did not threaten anybody. Simon Peter took a sword out and cut a fellow's ear off. Malchus cut his ear off. And he jumped around there squealing for a while. The Lord grabbed the ear, put that ear back on Malchus, and told Simon Peter, put your sword up. Don't you know? Listen, folks. Don't you know that I've got the power to call forth for 12, more than 12 legions of angels? You know how much a legion is? That's 6,000. Don't you know that I have the power to call forth right now more than 72,000 angels who could spare me from this death? You say 72,000, Dan, that's nothing. Have you seen the world? You know how many soldiers there are? Listen, I'm going to tell you another one. 2 Kings chapter 19, going to be about verse 34, 35. king of Assyria was threatening Jerusalem. King of Jerusalem by the name of Hezekiah went to the temple of God, got on his knees, "Father, please spare us from these enemies." That night, the Lord sent one angel. And in the camp of the Assyrians, the next morning they got up and there's 185,000 of them dead. Now, if one can take care of 185,000, how much can 72,000 take care of? Folks, we're fighting against odds that there's no way we can win. And what I'm saying is, why don't we give in and be the meek person that he asked us to be? Why can't I be kind to others? By the way, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 11 is a mighty passage of Scripture. It says, "Be quiet and learn to mind your own business." Did y'all know that was in the Bible? It'll tear your hair out, man. Be quiet and mind your own business. So we need to be kind. What else? Don't be offensive. Oh, by the way, James talked about this in his book. And he said, in all things we offend. Or all of us offend. We're all offensive in something, right? Why are you chewing that gum so loud? Hey, have y'all seen this commercial where a woman is sitting beside this little boy on the airplane? Y'all have seen that, haven't you? And it makes a statement, this loudness is about to get her. Because what he's doing is he reaches into this bag and he pulls out a potato chip. Chop, 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 chop. And here she is. So she puts on her earphones and it's gone. We all offend in one way or the other. We may not intentionally offend, but that's a part of mankind, isn't it? Somebody might like what color your hair. Or what if you don't have any hair? You understand what I'm saying? We live among humanity. There's always going to be something that gets to us. Paul wrote in Romans 14 that there are some who do not want to eat meat. And he said, "I eat meat, but I will not eat meat if it causes my brother to stumble or is made weak." It has nothing to do with folks. It has nothing to do with your salvation. You can eat catfish if you want to. By the way, under the law, that was no-no. Did y'all know that? No, you couldn't eat catfish. What's it, Friday night we get this catfish? Ah. Some people are offended eating certain meat. That's in Romans 14. Paul said, therefore, do not sit in front of a Jew and eat a pork chop. Y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? The pig is unclean. Don't sit in front of a Jew and eat a pork chop. You will offend his weak conscience. Let me give you another verse. And it's over in 2 Corinthians. Paul makes this statement. He said, brothers, no, it's in 1 Corinthians 8, verse 13. The eating of meat or the eating of vegetables makes no difference. Maybe you're a vegetarian. Fine. You can go to heaven and be a vegetarian. Maybe you eat meat. You can go to heaven eating meat. But in 1 Corinthians 8, 13, Paul said, if eating meat causes my brother to stumble, I won't eat another piece of meat as long as the world stands. In other words, go the second mile. Y'all see what I'm talking about? By the way, that has to do with non-essentials. If it comes down to thus saith the Lord, then we must obey God rather than man. Remember what Simon Peter told them? He said, whether you think it right or not, we must obey God rather than man. Jude verse 3. Give all diligence to keep the Spirit, to know the Spirit, to do the works of the Spirit. Don't let anyone take away the Word of God from your conversation. 1 Peter 3 and verse 15, that you may study, that you may be able to know how to answer every man according to the hope that lies within you with meekness and with fear. We need to know the Word of God. And if somebody's violating the Word of God, say, no, this is what the Word of God says. We got brethren that say it doesn't make any difference. Yes, it makes a difference. It always has. God says so, that's the way it is. I like that bumper sticker that said, God said it, I believe it. That settles it. That's the way it is. And so on some things we cannot give because they are a matter of faith. But on those things that are incidentals, that are not a matter of faith, whether you eat meat or you don't eat meat, don't make any difference to me. If you want to have armadillo, have him. Just don't invite me. I know about them armadillos. Okay. What else do we need to do? We need to learn forgiveness. Matthew 6, 14 and 15, the Bible says, you forgive and the Lord forgives you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you your trespasses. So we need to be kind. We need to be non-offensive. We need to be able to forgive and to help those who are. Look at Jesus, Luke 23, 34. They cursed him. They spat upon him. Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They know not what to do. What a Lord. Now, here's another thing we need to do is to give, that we might be a blessing to other folks, that the Lord can take that money. And we give. You noticed a while ago, if you're visiting, we have a contribution on Sunday. We give. By the way, the early church met on Sunday, every first day of the week. It was called the Lord's Day, Revelation 1 and verse 10. And the reason it was called the Lord's Day is that's the day the Lord was raised from the dead, Matthew 28 and verse 1. It was that day that the early disciples would meet on Sunday and they would partake of the Lord's Supper in memory of the Lord's death. They would also give of their means. They would sing together praises to God and they would call upon God in prayer and they would have preaching or teaching the Word of God. By the way, you can find that in Acts chapter 20 where the Apostle Paul was there and he preached to them. And he preached till midnight. Y'all want me to do that? He preached till midnight. But then I pointed out to my class this morning, that's not what all it says. He preached till midnight. A man fell out the window, went to sleep, fell out the window. He's on the third floor. And he went down and raised him back up to life. And he came back. And then Paul started his preaching again and preached till daylight. Y'all want me to do that? Most of you would go. If you go, old brother Foy Wallace used to say, hey, I'll turn out the lights. Y'all just leave the lights on. When I get through, I'll turn the lights out and go home. Can you imagine Paul preaching all night to people? But we need to hear the Word of God. And we need to give. On the first day of the week, the disciples came together and he said, give. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2. And in 2 Corinthians 9, 7, he said, as you have prospered in your heart, so give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, the Lord loves a cheerful giver. And he says, the Lord who supplies the seed for the sower will also supply bread for your food, that you will always have sufficiency in all things. Have you ever noticed it, folks? As we give, it's given back to us. Have you ever noticed you can't outgive God? Sometimes we'll say, I raised my contribution. You raise your contribution, and then somehow or other, more comes into your house. Isn't it amazing how the Lord does things? But that's what that verse of Scripture tells you, 2 Corinthians 9 through 11, says the Lord will increase your bounty. He'll take care of you. Luke 6 and verse 38, give and it shall be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give unto your bosom. Or as it is, you measure out, so it shall be measured to you again. The last thing I want to mention to you in the lesson is yours. That is, we need to save ourselves. We need to get a hold of self. Because after all, you say, well, I thought the Lord saved me. He does. But you got to do what the Lord says. It isn't your decision. You don't make up the rules. I don't make up the rules. Whatever the Lord says is what we need to do. And if we'll have that fixed in our minds, we'll be okay. Because whatever the Lord bids you to do, you do it. You do it with all your might. Philippians 2:12, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Don't want to be lost. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Acts 2 and verse 40 says that they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayer. See? We got to keep on. We got to hang in there. We can't give up. Because sure enough, I used to say, my luck is this. If I gave up, the Lord would come that very day. You don't want to give up. Because if you're like me, that may be the last chance you'll ever have. Because if you give up and go back to the world, you know what that means, don't you? If you go back to the world, that's lost. That's it. The last chance we have is the Lord. That's it. The Lord has spoken to us in these last days through His Son. Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. So it's the last we have. But now, once we're forgiven, once we obey the Lord, then we need to save others. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. We have a great mission, folks, and we need to be out doing it. We need to be knocking on doors. We need to be encouraging folks. We need to be teaching them the word of Almighty God. The disciples went everywhere preaching the word, Acts 8 and verse 4. Romans 1, 14, 16, Paul said, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that will believe it, from the Jew first and also to the Greek. This morning you have that opportunity. I'm going to say to you right now, you may need to obey the Lord. I don't know. I don't know whether you've been obedient or not. I'm just a speaker. And I'm telling you what His Word says. Today is the day of salvation. And if you've heard the Word of God, and the Lord's allowed you to have this day today, this may be your last time. If you need to obey the gospel, you walk down this aisle. Let me have your hand. Give God your heart. Be obedient to your Lord. You believe on Him? Repent of your sins. Confess that beautiful name. Be buried with Him in the watery grave of baptism. He'll add you to His church. You be faithful until death, and heaven's your home in the after a while. Here's another thing. You may have obeyed Him, but you're going back to the world. Come home. Don't delay. Again, this may be your last opportunity. Not trying to frighten anyone. I'm just telling you, that's the way life is. We all know it. So if you need to respond to Him, you need to come. If you'd like to place membership with us, you can do that as well. Will you come? All together, we stand and sing.
Jesus paid it all. the presence then. He was still white as snow, and when before the throne I stand in him complete, I'll lay my trophies down, all down at Jesus' feet. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
I'd like to thank all of you all for coming to worship with us this morning. We will be having a service again this evening starting at 5. We would love to see you all there. Also, before our closing prayer, we'll have one verse of song number 258. And if you are visiting with us, please stick around a little bit after service. Let us meet and get to know you. 258. We'll sing the first verse. If you have it, let us sing.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace. And